Question. Have you ever been caught off guard in your walk with God? Like caught off guard to the point where you're like, God, what are you doing? What's happening? How do I make sense of this situation? I remember, I like to tell the story about when I started seminary, I thought I was going to be a professor. There was no way I was going to be a pastor. I was going to be a professor. And I talked to one of my professors at Spurgeon's College in London, and I said, what do I need to do to sit where you're sitting right now? He said, well, all you need to do is get really high marks here. If you get really high marks here, you can go anywhere in the world. The world is your oyster to do your PhD, and then you can come right back here and teach. That sounds like a plan. So I busted my behind. I stayed up late. I sacrificed. I worked hard, blood, sweat, and tears. Maybe not blood, but sweat. And, you know, I finished at the top of my class. So I'm thinking, all right, well, here we go. Oxford, here we come. Durham University, here we come. And I send my application. This is years in the making. So my program lasted for about 4 years. I send my application into Oxford. I send my application into Durham University, and then I get the letters in the mail, and then those first three words, we regret to inform you. I thought, oh man, here we go. All those years that I had spent working so hard to finish with really, really high marks, and then I get this rejection letter, not one, but two in the mail, and it just, suddenly my life was going this way, and then all of a sudden it just hit a left turn, and I thought, God, what are you doing? What is going on? How do I make sense of this situation? Have you ever gone through something like that? Maybe it's not in college or seminary. Maybe it was in high school. Maybe you're in high school and you were studying for that test and you did what mom, you did what dad, and you did what grandma told you to do, and you turned off the music. You put the food away and you focused and you studied and you still didn't get the grade you were looking for. You're like, man, what is going on here? God, what is it? Have you ever just done the best you could to follow the Lord in a particular area of your life and things just not turn out the way you thought they'd turn out? Maybe you were dating. When you were in the dating phase, you did your best to honor the Lord in the dating process, and then you get married and then things happen and suddenly you thought it would go this way. You thought your life would look like this, and suddenly it's all the way over here, and you're like, God, what happened? We were supposed to be going this way. I put you first. I tried to include you in all of my decisions. We're supposed to be going this way. Why are things happening this way? Or maybe you have kids, and it's like, God, thank you so much for these kids, and we're tired, but we're good, and we're going in a good direction, and then she's pregnant again, and you're thinking, oh, God, what are you doing? We're not ready. We're tired. I don't know what to do. or maybe you've been trying for a long time, trying to have a baby, and finally you get pregnant. And you're like, yes, this is it. And then you lose the baby, and you're going, God, what is going on here? Unexpected changes of events. Even when you're putting God first, what do you do? Have you ever asked that question? God, what are you doing? Maybe you're an empty nester and you've been saving your money. You've been saving for retirement. You've been a really good steward of your finances and you've been responsible with your money and you've put money away and now you're retired and then something happens and now you're losing all the money and the money you thought you'd have isn't there anymore. And you're like, God, I've been responsible all these years. I've tithed, I've given my offerings, I've done the right. And then just, what are you doing, God? This is not the way things were supposed to work. How do I make sense of this situation? Have you ever been there? Well, if you've ever asked that question for whatever reason, whether something good happened, something bad happened, if you've ever found yourself asking that question, God, what are you doing? How do I make sense of this situation? If you've ever asked yourself that question, I've got some great news for you, because God, in his mercy, in his grace, in his love for you, has made provision to answer those very questions. There is provision that God has made in God's wisdom, in God's love for you, because God knows what you need and God wants to answer your questions, there is a provision that God has given all of us. Whether you've been walking with God for 20 years, 50 years, 1 year, however long, whether you consider yourself very mature in Christ or immature in Christ, there's a provision God has given everybody here to help make sense of things when things go unexpected. Or for whatever reason, you're asking the question, God, what are you doing? And we're introduced to this provision that God has provided early on in John's gospel. Last week, we took a look at the first five verses of John chapter 1. I like to call the opening credits of John's gospel, where we're introduced to all the key characters and the key themes of the gospel that will help us understand the rest of the story. Last week we were introduced to the Word, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were created through him. Not one thing that was made that has been made was made without him. In him was life, and that life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness. We looked at the creative Word and how Jesus, who is the eternal Word, was involved in creation in the beginning. And now it's almost as if God said once more, let there be light. And Jesus came into the world to begin a new creation that then affects us today. That's why Paul said, anyone who's in Christ is a new, what? Creation. And we looked at the Word, the eternal Word. Today we're going to look at the witness. Somebody say the witness. The witness. And we find this in John chapter 1, starting at verse 6. It says, there came a man sent from God. His name was John. Not John, the one who's responsible for the testimony that gave us John's gospel, but this is John the Baptist. We like John the Baptist in Baptist churches, right? He came as a witness. Somebody say witness.
Witness.
To testify concerning the light. That light is Jesus. So that through him, or through John, all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. And you see that word again, witness. And John is introducing a very important theme that we will find throughout the Gospel of John. This word witness, it comes from the Greek word martureo, and the noun form and the verb form of this word witness only occurs about six times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Only six times, and all those three gospels combined, it only occurs six times. But in John's gospel, it occurs 44 times in John's gospel alone. So this is a very important theme that John is introducing us to in the very beginning. But when you read these verses right here, in the context of the beginning of this gospel, it almost makes you wonder, well, why is this here? Because it starts out with this big idea. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it's talking about creation and the wonderful things that only happen because of God. And then here comes little puny little John right afterwards. And you're like, what is going on here? I mean, John was a towering figure in his time. Make no mistake, he was widely recognized as the one who inaugurated Jesus' public ministry. But compared to the Creator, the one where we're talking about there's a new creation being inaugurated through Christ, and there's a new universe, a new creation happening, and we're talking about God here. We're talking about big things here. We're talking about something only God can do, and then suddenly, oh, yeah, here comes this guy named John. What is this guy doing here? What is going on here? Well, the reason why John is introduced right here is because this theme of witness is very important when it comes to this work of new creation that has begun in Christ. This work that starts with Jesus and flows out to all of us. When you receive Jesus as Lord, you become a recipient of this work of new creation that has started in Christ. And that work of new creation is a work of transformation, a work of life. You know, Jesus said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. All of that is wrapped up in this idea of new creation, a new life. Paul called it sanctification, adoption, all of those beautiful things that we receive in the gospel can be wrapped up in this term, new creation, being brought into God's family. But the thing about it, this work of new creation, this work of transformation that affects each and every one of us, we won't recognize if we're left to our own devices. We need a witness to recognize God's work. We need a witness to recognize God's work. And this has been true from the very beginning. Let me give you an example. If we're left to our own devices, we'll do three things. We'll either miss what God is doing, we'll dismiss what God is doing, or we'll resist what God is doing. Let me tell you about someone who missed what God was doing. You remember Samuel? Samuel in the Old Testament, when he was young, he would be woken up in the middle of the night with this sense of somebody's calling me. Somebody's calling me. And who did he go to? He went to Eli. He went to Eli and said, Eli, did you call me? Eli's like, no, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. So Samuel went back to sleep. God is calling him. He wakes up. Eli, Eli, did you call me? Eli's like, no, I did not call you. And then Eli recognized, hold on, God is calling this boy. So Eli served as a witness so that Samuel could recognize what God was doing in his life. Otherwise, he would have missed it if he was left to his own devices. What about Jesse, David's father? Remember when Samuel, when he grew up, and he was now the prophet Samuel, he grew up, he went to Jesse's house. He said, Jesse, I'm looking for a new king in Israel. And Jesse, who did he bring? Everybody except who? David. God was preparing David to be the new king of Israel, and Jesse, his father, dismissed it. He dismissed it. He dismissed David. He dismissed what God was doing in his life. And it took the witness of Samuel to tell Jesse, this is the new king of Israel. And he anointed him right there on the spot. Sometimes we will dismiss what God is doing without a witness, or we'll miss what God is doing without a witness. What about Joseph's brothers? When Joseph started having those crazy dreams, and he said, oh, I think one day I'm going to be a leader. And you all are going to bow down to me. And his brother said, who do you think you are? Telling us we're going to bow down to you. And they resisted what God was doing in Joseph's life. And they tried to ruin his life. They sold him into slavery. And it took Joseph, after he grew up, years later, they got separated. Years and years later, it took Joseph serving as a witness to his brothers once they reconnected to tell them, look, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Joseph was a witness. If without Joseph's witness, his brothers would have never recognized that God was truly at work in his life. We need witnesses to help us discern what God is doing so that we don't miss it, so that we don't dismiss it, so that we don't resist it. And that's the point of this message. This is why John is introduced here early on in the gospel, because even though there's this great work of creation, this work of new creation that changes everything, that transforms everything, that is inaugurated in Christ, God knows in his love, in his provision, my people just might miss it. They might dismiss it. They might resist it. And this is exactly what happened with Jesus. Jesus was born on the wrong side of the tracks. He came from the wrong family. He said, isn't that Joseph's son, the carpenter? Didn't he come from Nazareth? Nothing good comes out of Nazareth, right? People were dismissing him. They missed him, or they resisted him. They called him a heretic, a blasphemer. They tried to kill him. Didn't work, but they tried to kill him, right? But God would send witnesses to testify, to help people if they were paying attention. Look at what God is doing here. I'm doing something special right here. Don't miss it. Don't dismiss it. Don't resist it. And so this is the point of today's message. The point is God sends witnesses to help you recognize God's work. This is what we can learn from these three verses in the beginning of John, is that God will send witnesses to help you recognize God's work. In God's love, in God's mercy, in God's goodness, because God loves you, because God wants to answer your questions, because God wants you to recognize that he's at work in your life, he will send witnesses to testify about what he's doing in your life. And this is how it happens. Many times when you're in church, and you hear something, whether it's from the music or from the message or from a prayer, and you go, I needed to hear that. That's a witness. Write it down. Or you open your Bible. Have you ever opened your Bible and you open it right to a verse that you need at that time? Where it was like, how did that happen? That's a witness. Or you're having fellowship with your Christian brothers and sisters, and they're talking about their life, and it seems like they're going through the exact thing that you're going through, and there's something about the conversation that resonates with you. That's a witness. God will send witnesses. Or have you ever heard somebody say something like this? Man, that's confirmation. That's confirmation. What that means is you're telling me something that God has told me before somewhere else. That's a witness. That God will send you witnesses to confirm to you what he's doing in your life. So the question for us is, it's not a matter of, does God want me to know what's happening? It's, am I paying attention to the witnesses that God is already sending? Because God is a good father, and God will send you things before you need them. And God will send a witness today to answer a prayer that you're going to pray tomorrow. This is why it's important, as much as you can, to take notes, you know, or to keep a journal. I always talk about keeping journals. You know, I'm probably sick and tired of me talking about keeping a journal, right? Remember those journals we gave out about a year ago with the little Hillendale logo on it? Right? Because we have to be stewards of the witnesses. So when we come into situations, we bump up against situations that make us ask that question, God, what is happening here? God, what are you doing here? You have a resource right here. What has God been telling me the last couple weeks, couple months, or even couple years? When I had that little turning point in my life, when I got those rejection letters in the mail and suddenly my life was not going to be what I thought it was going to be, I needed to go back to what God had been speaking over the last several months, over the last several years, and things began to make sense. And this is why we should always position ourselves in the right place in terms of being under the well, the flow where God speaks. So being in church, being in the Word, in the Scriptures, being in Christian fellowship, being in prayer, right, being in position to hear when God is speaking. And then when something resonates with you, when it makes you go, or amen, or I needed to hear that, or it just resonates with you, write it down. Because God is answering a prayer you haven't even prayed yet. Can you imagine if having the knowledge that every time I come to church, every time I open my Bible, every time I kneel down to pray, every time I have fellowship in love with my brothers and sisters in Christ, God is either answering a prayer I'm praying right now, or he's answering a prayer that I have yet to pray. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, isn't that, God is good. I mean, God is so good, and God loves you, and God is always speaking. And so, you know, when things happen in your life, it might catch you by surprise, but it hasn't caught God by surprise. And if we've just paid attention, just pay a little more attention to those witnesses that God sends to us, it'll be a great resource as we try to discern and discover what God is doing. Because let me tell you, Jesus was an unexpected blessing. People in those days, in Jesus' time, in terms of a Messiah, I mean, they were looking for somebody who was more of a traditional, kingly, warrior-type figure who would lead them in battle to overthrow the Roman Empire. They thought he would come out with guns blazing. They didn't have guns back then, but you know what I mean. Right, like Rambo style, like, let's go. We're going to overthrow the Roman Empire. Let's go. This is what the Messiah was supposed to do and establish the nation of Israel. And here comes Jesus riding on a donkey. Hi, guys. Like, you know, and spending time with the poor and healing people who were sick and breaking the rules, you know, breaking the Sabbath. What is he doing? That's not what the Messiah is supposed to do. Messiah is not supposed to come from Nazareth. What kind of neighborhood is that? Supposed to come from a carpenter's family. He was totally unexpected, and people needed witnesses to help them recognize what God was doing. So God had provided all the witnesses in Scripture, and we'll see this in John's Gospel, how Jesus' life was almost like a recap, a retelling of the Old Testament, just in a different way. And this is part of the reason why Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law. He was a fulfillment of many words, of many witnesses that had been told over thousands of years. And so Jesus knows how to prepare his people for his work in their lives. And it's no different for you and me as recipients of the new creation. The only question we need to be asking from this particular text in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 is, Lord, help me pay attention to the witnesses that you're sending to me. Whether it be in church or in the Word, in Christian fellowship, you might be listening to the radio. You ever listen to Christian radio and it's like, man, I need to hear that song. Thank you, Jesus. That's a witness. Yeah, God is speaking. God loves you. God is there. God is present. God knows exactly what you need. And maybe now on this fast, we've kind of been in better position to hear those witnesses because maybe we're not spending as much time on Facebook and social media and Netflix and all of that. Maybe it opens your ears up to hear a little more clearly what God has been speaking to you already. And no matter what age you are, no matter how strong you consider yourself to be in your faith, God sends witnesses to everybody. He sends words to everybody. God knows how to reach you. God knows how to speak to you wherever you are. You don't have to be on a mountaintop. You don't have to be on stage with a microphone in your hand. Nobody has to know your name. God knows your name. God knows your story. God knows the number of hairs on your head. God knows how to reach you with a word so that you have clarity on what God is doing. And when you have clarity on what God is doing, you can face anything. When you're going through difficult times, but you have confidence that I know exactly what God is up to, I can handle anything. I can take the trials as long as I have wisdom on what this trial is doing in my life, whether it's supposed to teach me something or prepare me for something. You can handle life better when you have clarity on what God is doing. And I just want to encourage you today that God is already speaking to you. God is already sending words to you. God is already giving you what you need to know what he's doing in your life. And it's called witnesses. I just want to encourage you to open your ears, write it down, and pay attention. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us so much, for sending us witnesses to testify about what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for not leaving us to our own devices, but helping us to see what it is that you're doing. Jesus, you said that the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in the ground. And Lord, we know that your work can sometimes be hidden, sometimes be elusive, and we might miss it or dismiss it or even resist it when left to our own devices. But Lord, you haven't left us to figure it out on our own. You've already done something by sending witnesses to us, witnesses in the church. Help us listen when you're speaking, to be proactive about chronicling what you're telling us, so that when we're asking that question, when we're praying, trying to figure out, how do I make sense of my life? How do I make sense of what God is doing? We'll already have what you've provided in your witnesses, Lord. I pray that you encourage my brother, my sister, who may be praying that very prayer right now, or prayed it this week, or might be praying it in the week to come. Lord, help them to remember, to see, to hear what you've already been saying, to give them wisdom on how to proceed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. One quick story before I sit down and let you reflect on the message. When I got those rejection letters in the mail, if you're kind of wondering, well, what were the witnesses? There were things that God would tell me or kind of put on my heart over the years about being a pastor, and I wouldn't listen, but I'd write it down. Or being an artist, you know, because I love music, and also of being a professor. And what I learned was I was pigeonholing myself into one thing, saying, well, I'm going to be a professor, and that's it. But God had to open my eyes and say, you know what? You don't have to just be a professor. You can be a professor and a pastor and an artist, right? And that's exactly what I'm doing now, right? I serve at Leland. I direct their school of ministry. I'm a pastor at Hillendale, and I play the drums, right? See, but I would have never thought that God would actually do that, you know, because it's kind of unconventional. I didn't see pastors doing that, right? But sometimes when God puts something on your heart and you go, I don't want to hear that, write it down anyway. I just wanted to say that one last thing, because sometimes we hear things, we know it's from God, but we kind of just try to push it away like, nope, he didn't say that. Just write it down anyway. Okay, so now go ahead and reflect, and I'll be right back.